Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
NYYST. Hello. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance because they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail? Cause you play the roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know what we have, yeah, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future but see profit here. Wait up, we gon' always win. Promise that that's not a promise, yeah, that is a threat. You know that I promise to bring the team commas.
Welcome back. This is episode 504 of the NYYST podcast. We're here live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up,
bro? I haven't really talked to you much since you had a friggin' drill in your hip 2 weeks ago. How you feeling?
I feel like I have a hole in my leg.
Okay, you got a hole in your leg. Catch everybody up. You weren't here last week. People were asking, how's Sem doing? Is he okay? Tell everybody, you doing all right?
I'm doing as well as someone who would have a hole in their leg would do.
Okay,
so I feel wonderful.
Okay, I caught Sem at a grocery store riding the motorized cart last week, so he must be having a good time in life there.
Everyone's rude. Like, you think like people want to be nice to you because you're like a cripple, and just people are just scummy.
No, because I know the store that you were at, bro. That store is literally impossible to walk through, and you're trying to drive a motorized cart through it. I don't blame them.
I wasn't driving. I was drifting it because I was flying around. It needs a horn.
Oh, the one that ShopRite gives you has a horn on it.
Well, I'm going to go to ShopRite tomorrow. No, thank you. Okay, I'm going to use everyone's electric scooter.
Well, you better go there before I go there, because if I see you there, I'm going to throw something at you.
Call my peoples.
Those are my people over there, bro. You might live there, but I run that town, okay?
No, I'm going to call my peoples. All right, people up in the mountains.
Okay, your people up in the mountains, and hopefully we got a lot of our people here in the chat tonight. We're live here on NYY Underground on this Thursday night, just a few days before the winter meetings kick off. I don't know. Where are they this year?
I don't know. Let's
Google that.
Google it. I've been dead to the world for a week.
Where are the winter meetings this year? Come on, Google. Oh, they're in Orlando. Look at that. I wanted to say Orlando, but then I didn't want to be wrong. But yes, they are in Orlando. We heard the first installment of Yankee Hot Stove last night, and I don't know. It didn't exactly get you excited. I know everybody is waiting on bated breath for everything that Jack Curry has to say, and he really didn't pump you up there, but we'll get into that as before we get too far along the way here. But if you're here live in the chat tonight, we thank you. Please like this video and subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform on Friday morning, please subscribe there and leave us a 5-star rating and review as well. Seems like there's a lot of moving and shaking. There have been some big moves on the hot stove here. None by the New York Yankees, mainly out of their two biggest rivals, the two teams that they faced in the postseason this year, as the Red Sox just made a trade for a reliever whose name's escaping me right now, but he is a pretty solid guy that's going to add nicely to their bullpen. And they also have traded for Sonny Gray, which we'll get into. We're going to get into that in a minute. And the Toronto Blue Jays, again, I can't remember this frigging guy's name, but he was
Johan Oviedo.
And the KBO MVP is going to be pitching for the Blue Jays, and they also have signed Dylan Cease to a big money deal, 7 years, $210 million. They got $64 million of that deferred. So that's just not a Dodgers trick there. Everybody seems to be doing it. And apparently, Kyle Tucker was visiting with the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday. So, you know what? The Yankees have to understand what's going on right here. And, you know, Jack Curry comes out yesterday on Hot Stove, and people kind of take what Jack Curry says as the Bible, because Jack Curry's not known to put things out there that are fictitious. He's not known really to be a guy that plays the agenda. And I understand he's on the Yes Network, so he's not really going to trash the organization. But when he comes out there yesterday and says that Grisham's $22 million is definitely going to affect the Yankees' appetite to chase Cody Bellinger, it doesn't leave you feeling pretty good about being a Yankee fan heading into the winter meetings here. Now, I will say this, because I looked at this, and since 2019, the Yankees have come away with a major player at every winter meetings since 2019. 2019 was Gerrit Cole. There was no 2020 because of COVID. 2021, they shut it down because of the lockout. So, I mean, who knows what would have happened those years, but obviously, there were no winter meetings. 2022, they did re-sign Aaron Judge. I mean, you can say that was bringing their own player back. But, hey, you know what? That happened at the winter meetings, the 11th hour phone call with Brian, with Hal Steinbrenner. So it was a major acquisition. You know, 2023, we all know, was Juan Soto. And last year was Max Fried. So are the Yankees cooking up something as we head into the winter meetings here? Now, I know a lot of people have come out here and said that Jack Curry maybe doesn't know as much as he used to know. Maybe the Yankees are playing things a little close to the vest here, and that could be the case. And that's almost kind of what I'm hoping is the case here, that, you know what, the Yankees are maybe they're telling Jack Curry, hey, you know what, we want Belly back. We're going to make a big play for him. But if you go on there on the Yes Network and say that, you're going to hurt a negotiation. So if you took everything at face value for what just Jack Curry said yesterday, the Yankees are walking away with their dick in their hand and pretty much nothing else at the winter meetings here, because the big keys out of what he said is that, like I said earlier, the $22 million is going to play into their appetite to chase Cody Bellinger. Ryan Yarbrough, don't expect somebody to be a big time established pitcher coming in here. Ryan Yarbrough will fill the gaps until Colin Rodon are back. And if you thought the Yankees were going to say goodbye to Anthony Volpe, that he said that the Yankees still believe in Anthony Volpe, still believe there's more there, and that Caballero and Cabrera are just here to hold the fort until Anthony Volpe gets back. So it remains to be seen. We have not hit the winter meetings yet, okay? So we don't know. And usually what we've seen out of Brian Cashman, outside of really Juan Soto, when have the Yankees ever made the obvious move that they were they're connected to this guy, they're connected to this guy, they're connected, and they just seem to go in a different direction? You always see, like, we heard last year at the winter, going into the winter meetings, that it was Blake Snell, and that was their priority if they couldn't get Juan Soto. And then all of a sudden, it was Max Fried. You really heard nothing with the Yankees being connected to Max Fried. Now, obviously, you go back to 2019. We all know that how badly the Yankees wanted Gerrit Cole, but it seems like a lot of the times that the Yankees are moving through the night here where you don't really know what they're up to. So I'll say this. I think the Yankees do have a significant move up their sleeve here going into the winter meetings. I do think that the New York Yankees are going to come away with somebody that we do not necessarily think off the top of our heads here. And I'll tell you the reason why here. And again, this could just be me trying to convince myself that the Yankees are going to make this move, that I need to believe this in my head, that the Yankees are going to make this kind of maneuver, because I can't go through the winter believing that they're really going to have the, quote, big move be Trent Grisham. So this could be all me trying to fool myself and convince myself. But I really do believe the Yankees have something up their sleeve, partially based on the evidence that I just said that they usually do at the winter meetings. But also, you guys can say whatever you want about Hal Steinbrenner. He doesn't care. He's cheap. He's only willing to do this. The one thing Hal Steinbrenner wants more than anything is a full Yankee stadium. And Hal Steinbrenner, and again, this is something maybe I have to believe, Hal Steinbrenner is not that stupid to the point where he doesn't know that his core consumers are upset right now. And the people that are the most willing to go out there and spend money and spend big money at that ballpark in the Bronx are going to be turned off by if the Yankees do nothing but Trent Grisham and some mid-level reliever arms. So I have to believe that he's at least smart enough to know that and smart enough to realize that the Yankees have to do something in the winter meetings or in the weeks after the winter meetings, where at least they've built the groundwork to this to get the fan base excited. Because I can tell you this confidently, that I don't think that the New York Yankee fan base is excited at all going into 2026. Now, you could say that the Yankees lost Juan Soto last year and some of the enthusiasm fans had going into 2024 was gone in 2025. But I always said this. I thought the Yankees rebounded nicely in picking up Bellinger and Max Fried, and it brought back some of the enthusiasm, because this was before we knew Gerrit Cole was going to have Tommy John surgery. We were thinking in that rotation with Gerrit Cole and Max Fried, so you had some of that renewed optimism there. I don't think that Hal Steinbrenner is going to go into the season not giving the fans something, and I don't think that something is just Cody Bellinger. Jack Curry said they're going to be out on starting pitching. They're going to go for bullpen arms, but maybe not the closer types that fans are clamoring for. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I do think that the Yankees are going to pull a rabbit out of their hat here. Now, whether or not it's the rabbit you want them to pull out of their hat, but I think that they are going to take a big swing at somebody here and bring back some excitement to the fan base, if for no other reason than to get people to come through the turnstiles in April and in May. So, right or wrong, whatever Hal's motivations for in making this maneuver, I think that the Yankees are going to be motivated for making a maneuver like this. Because remember, Hal said that he would like to see the payroll go down, but it wasn't something that was likely going to happen. So I do think that they have an appetite to make a big maneuver here. And as badly as Brian Cashman can budget money, I honestly don't believe he's that bad at budgeting money that he knew and he was told that if you give Trent Grisham $22 million, that we are going to stay out of the big game hunting this offseason. So, again, it remains to be seen. This could all be me trying to hype myself up and get myself through the winter meetings here. But I really think the Yankees are going to take a big swing here at something, whether or not that's a trade, whether or not that's a signing. And I don't think it's just Cody Bellinger. I think if it's Cody, it's Cody plus. Or if it's not Cody, it's something that they're going to take a big swing at here. Because I do truly believe in my heart of hearts that Hal Steinbrenner is smart enough to realize that this fan base is not excited and that what he is presenting to the fan base right now is not going to get them into turnstiles, especially early on in the season. So whether or not you can say he only cares about money, he doesn't really care about winning, hey, that might actually work to our benefit right now. And how far deep he goes back or beyond this one move, that again remains to be seen. But I am not as pessimistic as other Yankee fans are. Now, am I guaranteeing the Yankees are coming away with something here at the winter meetings? No, I'm not guaranteeing that. But I'm also not saying that it's not, if it doesn't happen at the winter meetings, it's not going to not happen at all. I really do think, again, you want to throw out Sandy Alcantara. You think that's a big move for the Yankees to make. I don't think that they believe that Ryan Yarbrough, Will Warren, plugging the holes until Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon come back is enough. So is that Ime? Is that something else that we're not thinking about? Is that Michael King? I don't know. I'm just telling you that is it, whatever it is, it probably is something that they're thinking about right now, because I think they both know, Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, that the fan base is probably as the least amount of excitement they've had going into a season probably since what, 2016? It's been a good decade, because 2017, you were thinking about the rebuild. 2017, I mean, going into 2018, they got Stanton. You saw Judge emerge. 2019, there was a 100-win team. 2020, again, the COVID season, but you had Gerrit Cole. You came off an ALCS appearance. 2022 was the final year of Aaron Judge. You know, 23, they brought in Rodon after Judge's MVP. 24 was Soto. 25 coming off the World Series and bringing in Max Fried. So there might have been a 21, 22 might have been a little down, but I don't think the fan base has been this down in a full decade. And I think they know that. And I think they are cognizant to that. Now, do I think they're going to go out there and spend $500 million like they did in 2008? No. But I also don't think that they're going to sit on their hands and say, here's Trent Grisham, here's a middle reliever, and okay, we'll see you guys in April. Because you won't be seeing anybody in April if that's the case.
Coca-Cola. For the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers. Risk takers. For the optimists. Pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts. And extroverts, the thinkers and the doers, for old friends and new, Coca-Cola, for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast, smart move. Being financially savvy, smart move. Another smart move, having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
No, I think everything you said is just bullshit. Realistically, these people run off ego. And I think the only reason that we're going to get anything big this offseason at these winter meetings is because they realize how pissed off that the fan base is. There's nothing about getting people in the doors. Because first off, I went to so many games this year. It was unreal. And you go to games that would normally wouldn't be packed, and they're packed because you could tell when you go there, they have new the pitchers are coming out to new flashing lights and all this. They have people there, and you can see that their marketing has changed. It's not just, hey, we're the Yankees, come see us. Now they're trying to appeal to people. So, oh, this is the game that not a lot of people are going to come to. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make this Korean night, and they're going to give out Korean jerseys and stuff like that. They're getting more creative with how they get people in the door. They don't need to sign a big name. They already have a big name. They have Aaron Judge. That's the way that I feel that Hal Steinbrenner is looking at it. They're going to have Gerrit Cole here. They have Max Reed. They have the big name. So I'm like, oh, we don't need to go out and do that. It's ego at this point. When Brian Cashman goes out and he drops the ball and makes an ass out of himself, and Trent Grisham basically calls his bluff and says, oh, I'll take that money. Their ego is hurt. And now they're like, oh, they got some egg on their face, and they realize that they just made a mistake. Now they need to overcompensate for that. I think that's where we'll get a big player or something of substance because of that alone. You have Steve Cohen, you know, how many minutes down the road, just got approved for a casino license. The guy's going to open a casino, and he's going to redevelop the entire area around Citi Field. You go to Yankee Stadium and you take two steps this way, and you're in, you know, the projects. It's like, it's an ego thing. You have the Mets on their heels, who have ultimately, I never been there, but just looking at pictures, they have a nicer stadium. Okay. You ask who has better food and stuff like that. They say that, you know, Citi Field has better food. It's, you know, they can't have the better players. Now they're going to have a casino. Hal Steinbrenner is going to go out because they don't want to be outdone. You're the biggest franchise in sports. You're worth billions upon billions of dollars. You don't want to be outdone. As cheap as he wants to be, that's what I think is going to be our saving grace, because no one wants to be outdone. I don't want to be outdone. My daughter just had a thing at school, and I was like, oh, I was out, Dad, because some father 3D printed some stuff for his daughter to sell. And my wife told me, don't make enough, you know, just make these few things for her that she wants. This guy is out there, had like a whole friggin' thing. And like, I was out dead. Now looking forward to next year. That's how I think that Hal Steinbrenner is going to look at things. Because ultimately, when you have more money than God and you don't have to worry about anything, only thing you worry about is the things that you don't have. And if you don't have a casino, you don't have this. That's what drives these people. I own a sports team. I own people. I trade them. Like we trade baseball cards. He trades people. So I don't think they don't have trouble getting people through the doors. There's never a game that where it looks like you're, you know, they're having attendance issues. It's not one of their problems. It's a tourist attraction. People get off a plane, they go to New York. What do you want to do? You want to go to a New York Yankees baseball game. So I think if we get anything this season, it's just going to come down to just pure ego and Brian Cashman looking like a complete ass by signing Trent Grisham. Because if they really cared about what the fans wanted and they wanted people in the doors and all that, Aaron Boone wouldn't be the coach, stuff like that. Because you could read all over Twitter, people want him gone. And that hasn't slowed down attendance. People aren't not buying Gerrit Cole jerseys or you know, Bellinger jerseys and all this
stuff. No, but the point you're missing, though, is that they've always done something to keep the fan base on the hook. Okay, there's an old episode of How I Met Your Mother there where it's called you keep a girl on the hook, or you keep the guy on the hook, and you don't really want to date him, but you just want to keep him close enough just in case you want them, and then you pull him in on the hook. Okay, that's what Hal Steinbrenner is trying to do to the fan base here. They've always done something to keep the fans on the hook. And I think he realizes that, that they can't go into this season and not keep the fans on the hook, because there are plenty of fans that are tired of going to Yankee Stadium and spending insane amounts of money to watch the team play and not feel like they're being rewarded for the amount of money that they are spending. So if they go into this season where the biggest check they write is to Trent Grisham, you're going to turn people off from going to the baseball games. And also, I have to believe in my heart of hearts here that somebody is in that organization saying that if we don't bring in players, this team is not going to the postseason. So whether it's one extra gate, five extra gates, or 15 going all the way to the World Series, he craves that money. And this team, if this is the team that is going to walk into San Francisco on March 25th, this is the team that is on paper right now, the baseball team that's going to San Francisco on March 25th, they are not winning a damn thing. They will not be a playoff team in 2025 or 2026. You really think to tell me that they think that Trent Grisham in center field, who batted 230, by the way, okay, 230 hitting Trent Grisham, that a guy that don't even like in Jason Dominguez, that's your outfield. And then now you're handing the first base job over to Ben Rice. We saw the massive regression in Austin Wells last year. You're already starting the season at shortstop with replacement players. Say whatever you want about Anthony Volpe, but now you're a step below Anthony Volpe because you have replacement players playing at shortstop. You have your ace is starting the season still again on the IL. You had a guy that pitched at an all-star level last year starting on the IL. You mean to tell me they really truly think Ryan Yarbrough is going to replicate the eight starts that he had last year in that time period until Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon come back? Maybe I am crazy and I'm giving this front office too much credit, but they have to understand that they can't go through this offseason and not do anything. What that anything is, it remains to be seen. Again, there's always a line in the sand when it comes to the Yankees and what they're willing to do. But I don't think that the biggest move they make this offseason is Trent Grisham, because that's not a playoff team. Don't even pay any mind to what the Blue Jays are doing or what the Red Sox are doing, which is beefing up their teams and getting better. The Yankees won't even be competing with the teams in the AL Central for that third wild card if they don't get improvements, okay? We all know that Giancarlo Stanton is going to spend 70 or 80 games on the injured list this year. We know that's going to happen. Where are you going to replace that offensive production from? So if you look at this lineup right now, the people that are on this team, look at it. Where are you getting offense from? You think Aaron Judge is hitting 330 and going to hit 50 home runs next year with this lineup? You thought he got intentionally walked a lot last year. Forget it. They know, at least for that point of view, that they have to bring somebody in to protect Aaron Judge. They have nobody right now. And again, you want to say that, Cody Bellinger. Yeah, Cody Bellinger did a pretty solid job of protecting Aaron Judge and giving Aaron Judge somebody to be in the lineup with last year. So that's the baseline there. Do they go and add starting pitching? Do they go and add a reliever after that? I don't know. Again, I don't have the answers in front of me. But I'm sitting here thinking about everything that has to happen, and I can't wrap my head around this team really, truly thinking that they're done with Trent Grisham and a couple of mid-level bullpen arms.
I don't think that they're done. I just listen. Like, I don't think that their driving factor is what you think it is. Like, realistic. Like, really, if they don't sign anything or do anything big this year, they'll just put another thing on the menu this year. They got chicken and waffles last year. This year it'll be, you know, something stupid on a stick. Because to me, I go to Yankee Stadium and it's becoming more of a gimmick than anything, because when you go there, I'm trying to how to put this without getting anybody mad at me. I see more women sitting there taking pictures and posting pictures of their food than I see people watching baseball. I think it's just becoming such a tourist attraction. It's just a gimmick. It's a thing to do. Hey, let's go out there. You know what I'm saying? And they're making the money. They're upping it's the second year in a row, or I don't know if prior to this, but another 10% tickets are going up in prices. Everything's so much more money. You know, they're a money machine. They're churning it in and out. I don't think that they're hurting for money. I don't think that they need to do anything for money to get us in the door. We're going to show up regardless. If they did nothing, absolutely nothing from here on out to the start of the season, I'm still going to opening day. There's nothing that's going to keep me away. And
you're gonna, the Pirates sell opening day.
I'm still gonna go to games after that. It's not just like, you know, I'm not gonna be like a one and done. They're getting people in the door because the diehard fans that are gonna sit there and actually be really pissed off about it. I don't know if they're the ones even going to the, are they the ones still going to the stadium? Did they stop going to the stadium 3 years ago, 4 years ago when they got tired of it's looking at Boone coming already? Coming back year after year. They're signing deals with Netflix and all this shit. The TV deals that baseball is making is outrageous. You know, I think that they'll do something. They want to be competitive. Sure, they want to make it into the playoffs. They do want the extra gates and all that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just being pessimistic. Maybe I'm just like losing faith. But I really don't think that they are World Series or bust. I think that they just are.
They've openly admitted that they're not that way.
You know, mediocre.
They've openly admitted that they're not that way anymore. But they also believe that they have to be in the postseason every year because it's quote a crapshoot, and they're not even going to get a chance to roll the friggin' dice this year if they put this team on the field. Okay, you can say that, and I've said it, that the Yankees Stadium has turned into a tourist attraction, which I do agree with, but you know what? If you're not selling a product that your core consumers don't want to see, nobody's going to go to the games. That might last a year or two, but piss off your core consumers. Go out there and not do anything this year and see what happens. Anybody can sell out opening day. That's not an achievement. That's not something you hang a banner for. Because why? The Pirates sell opening day, and then nobody's there the rest of the year. So saying people will still go to opening day doesn't mean anything. Are they going to be there the next day? That's the big question. Are they going to be there when the Yankees are two games under 500 at the beginning of June? That's the big question. Yeah, you'll get your touristy people trickling in during the summer months, but pay attention to that. Pay attention to how loud Yankee Stadium is, if that's the case, because you'll know right away. Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to be embarrassed, and he knows that if that's the case, he will be embarrassed.
So he doesn't want to be embarrassed. It's his ego that's going to drive him. So I guess, yes, if he doesn't fill the stadium up, yeah, he would. He would be embarrassed. It's his ego.
Let's get to Rod's Super Chat here. Rod, what's up, brother? Yankees will be looking for another third baseman. I don't care if Ryan McMahon is Greg Nettles. Doesn't matter. He hits like Volpe for $16 million. Hey, look, you know what? I'm willing to give Ryan McMahon some time here. I think there's other areas of need that the Yankees should be focusing in on here before Ryan McMahon. I do agree with you. He was very disappointing last year offensively. Because I would have thought of anything, he would have had a little bit more pop in his bat being a left-handed hitter at Yankee Stadium last year. So we really didn't get anything out of him last year after the trade. But I'm willing to give him a grace period to say around the trade deadline. If he's not cutting it offensively, where he's showing a little bit of pop and he's even hitting around like 235, 240, then the Yankees, yeah, they're going to have to look for a third baseman. But again, they took on this guy's contract, and who's going to want him? The Yankees are cutting bait on him. They're going to have to eat that salary. And at that point, you know, the Yankees are just going to ride it out with him anyway, until it gets to the point where he's unplayable. And I don't know if he'll ever get to that point. So unplayable means DJ LeMahieu. So is Ryan McMahon going to be DJ? No, I think at least defensively, he's going to stay on top of his game. So there'll be the Yankees are not going to, take a look at that and say, "Oh, we just got to eat this."
Nah, like you said, I think there's much, much more glaring issues that we have with this team that are more important than replacing Ryan McMahon currently. You know, realistically, what are we doing at first base? Is it going to be Ben Rice? It's going to be Ben Rice, but then what do you do at catcher? Because again. Austin Wells sucked. Not a bad catcher. But he's terrible offensively.
Guys, like, in the chat, I need to just time you out here. Stop talking about what Hal said he wants the payroll to be, because he also said that it's unrealistic for it to be at that number. So until he enters the season with 275, he has not done that. So let's take a time out here. Everybody focuses on this is the problem with social media. This is the problem with the media as a whole here. He said two things in that sentence. Excuse me. He said, ideally, I'd like to see the payroll go down. But, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact word he used. He said, it's unrealistic that it will. So what does that mean? Does that mean it's at 310 again? Yeah, that's probably the range that the Yankees are playing in again. I don't think he's going to go 340, 350, 360. But I also don't think it's going to be 275. Look at the money they have committed already.
Yeah. Well, that's why that's probably why they're so against trading off their prospects. Cause, you know, you watch teams that put together and make, you know, postseason runs, or, you know, like Tampa Bay, they didn't have a high salary, and they bring up people through their farm system. They acquire people through trades or whatever, whatnot. And, you know, you got Spencer Jones, you got Jason Dominguez, you got Lombard Jr. I don't remember the pitcher's name, but you got these guys, and they're not making money. They want to play those guys. That's what Hal Steinbrenner wants to do. He wants to have homegrown players that he could come up and control and be like, oh, you're only making $1 million this year, but yeah, you're playing like a $20 million player. That's what he wants. That's how he wants to get his payroll down. I don't think Hal Steinbrenner is going to be a cheap bastard about it. You know, he's not his father. We all get that. We all understand that. We can't hang up on that. I'm not my father. You're not your father. No one's their father. You know, he's not going to go out and do what he does things differently. There's shareholders, there's people he's got to answer to, yada, 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 whatever, whatnot. But like, the guy wants to, if I owned the baseball team, I would too, because then I could line my pockets with more money. You know, maybe he wants to buy another mega yacht. Maybe he's eyeing another property in Milan. I don't know what the hell he's got going on, but like, that's what they want to do. But I think realistically, when he says things like that, he means he doesn't want to go out and sign players. He wants a player like Jason Dominguez to pan out, or he wants a player like Spencer Jones to pan out. The problem is that the Yankees put those players out in the field and don't trust them, and then yank them out, and they play this yo-yo game with them all day long, and they're just a bunch of fuck faces. So, you know, you could wish in one hand, shit in the other hand. Which one's going to fill up first? I think he's just needs to get rid of Aaron Boone.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, what the Yankees should be shopping for at the winter meetings here is an outfielder. Again, it didn't sound optimistic that the Yankees would be as gung-ho for Bellinger as we were maybe led on to believe based on the hot stove last night. But also, how does that benefit the Yankees for Jack Curry going out there and saying they're ready to drop their pants for Cody Bellinger? It doesn't. So if he pulls back the reins a little bit, maybe it's a negotiation tactic. I don't know. But also, they need Cody Bellinger back. Now, should they be thinking higher up the ladder and for Kyle Tucker? Yeah, they probably should be. Okay? The only question about Kyle Tucker is that he's pretty much been exclusively a right fielder. Can he play center? Can he play left? Because we are past the days of Aaron Judge playing center field. And also, I get it. Look, you're just playing the pros and cons here. The other tick for Cody Bellinger is he plays first base, and it protects you against Ben Rice just not being a good baseball player or being a bad first baseman, where maybe you can move Ben Rice to DH or back behind the plate. Or if Ben Rice isn't hitting, then Cody Bellinger becomes an option, because the Yankees will have options with Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones, or if they go out there and get a fourth outfielder type like a Harrison Bader. So I think that there's more plentiful options that way if you bring back Cody Bellinger as opposed to Kyle Tucker. But again, if you're looking at the team offensively, obviously the best move for them is what the hell is his name? Kyle Tucker. But here's what I'm doing. I'm the New York Yankees, right? I'm the Yankees. This is what I said last week, that how, if you don't love this team, it's time to let it go and let somebody that loves it fucking go out there and start cutting the checks, because there's absolutely zero reason that Bo Bichette is not even on the forefront of anybody's mind right now, because they think the Yankees are just not even going to go there. He's one of the best offensive players in baseball, and you want to change the room, you want to change the outlook of this team, that's what you go out there and do. You go out there and you bring in Bo Bichette. Excuse me, and he plays shortstop until Golden Boy gets off the IL, and then you figure a place to play Bo Bichette, okay? Because we all know the Yankees aren't going to take the job away from Volpe, and that's fine. I'm done having that argument. I can't do it anymore. I've just succeeded the argument, okay? He's the shortstop. It is what it is. But Bo Bichette can man the position until Volpe gets back, and then that's where you look around and say, hey, where do you want to go? Can you play third base? Can you play second base? Because, again, something that I am very open to is trading Jazz Chisholm. I'm very open to doing that. And then now you look at it, you bring in Bo Bichette, and then fans aren't shitting on Cody Bellinger as much because you brought in an elite offensive player, and you brought in the versatile guy that fit this team very well last year. And now you're looking at this lineup, and you're saying, oh, my, look at this. Look at this middle of the lineup. Now we got Cody, Bo, and Aaron Judge with Ben Rice back there. Now you're looking at things a little bit differently here, as opposed to Cody Bellinger in being the quote big offensive piece. So Cody and Bo, I like that, as opposed to just saying we're just gonna whatever. Or if you truly believe in one of these two guys being Jones and Dominguez, because you're the Hal Yankees, and you're pouring your own mind, forget the outfielders. Go get Bo Bichette. Go get this guy, man. Go get him. Put him at second base. Or trade Ryan McMahon and put Jazz back at third base for 1 year. And if you need to lift Jazz for defense late in the game, you got Caballero, you got Cabrera. You can make it work for 1 year. The problem with the Yankees is that the only times they want to think outside the box is when it doesn't work. And this can work. I really believe that this is something that can work, that if you're only looking to sign one offensive player to big money this year, that it shouldn't even be an outfielder. You're going to have Trent Grisham out in center field, and you have Dominguez and Spencer Jones. Let them battle it out in camp. And then you, like I said, go bring in the fourth outfielder. Go bring in somebody like a Harrison Bader type, that he's a guy that loves playing in the big city. We know that. I'm not the biggest Harrison Bader fan, but as a fourth outfielder type, I don't mind it to provide you a little bit of insurance if Dominguez and Jones doesn't work out. And outfielders are a dime a dozen. You can always find one at the trade deadline if it really needs to be that case. So I don't have a problem with that. And also, now you move off of the offensive side of the ball here. They need bullpen help. They just basically non-tendered the entire underbelly of their bullpen a couple weeks ago. So you know it's Bednar, because Jack Hurry even reiterated that. That's Bednar's the closer. Duvall and Fernando Cruz are your setup guys. And then you have Tim Hill as your lefty specialist. I'm pretty sure I'm missing somebody there. But you know, Devin Williams and Luke Weaver were late inning options that are not going to be here next year. You need other late inning options. I'm not saying go out there and sign Edwin Diaz to a $100 million contract. but go out there and make a trade. Trade for somebody. Trade for somebody to be the eighth inning guy. That can close in certain situations. That's where they should be thinking, not like, oh, we'll get a reclamation project and stick them with Matt Blake, because that's how you're going to burn out your bullpen. But Fernando Cruz, to his credit, was mostly really good last year, but he also got proctored, okay? If you know what that means, then you know how overused Fernando Cruz was last year, and he's not exactly a spring chicken either. So the Yankees might want to limit his usage in 2026. So bringing in more than just back at a bullpen guys, bringing in guys that can pitch in the back end of the game is something they should be looking at. And also, look, facts are facts here. I love Gerrit Cole. We have no idea what we're getting out of Gerrit Cole when he comes back. And Carlos Rodon, you know me, I trade him in a heartbeat. And I really do believe that this, even if they were thinking about that, doing that, this surgery is probably going to keep them from finding suitors for him. But we don't know what he's going to be. And how are you going to cover these innings? You got Max Fried. Okay, Max Fried, great. We all love Cam Schlittler, but we don't know. The guy's never pitched a full big league season yet. We don't know. Until you see somebody do it, the question is out there. The question is always going to be out there. Yeah, Toronto Blue Jay fans out there are, you know, rubbing their sticks together for Trey Yesavage. Again, we don't know. Is everybody going to be Paul Skeens? Is every one of these hot, young flamethrowers going to be Paul Skeens? We don't know that. Until we see him do it, we don't know. Okay? So is it Ime? Is it bringing in Michael King? Is it trading for Sandy? I think those are the three most popular names you hear. One of them has to be here. Take your pick of which one you like the most. I would probably rank them Ime, King, and Sandy, only because I don't think that the Yankees are going to get Sandy on the cheap. And the other two just cost money. And it has nothing to really do with last year, because, you know, coming back from Tommy John surgery is always tricky, but that's probably where I would rank him. Bring one of those guys in. Close the gaps, okay? You can never have too much starting pitching. Oh, Will Warren's now your seventh starter? Great. Who cares? That's a great problem to have. And if he does, and if you don't want to, you know, have him languishing in the bullpen, trade him. You don't mean to tell me somebody doesn't want Will Warren? There are good starting pitchers out there available that will make the starting pitchers that you have trade pieces. It's not rocket science here. These are the things that Yankees should be looking to do at the winter meetings here.
Because we all thought, you know, Luis Gil was going to be the shit. You know what I'm saying? And then injury, and then he comes back. It's too erratic. You know, you don't know what Cam Schlittler is going to do. You know, we saw it was great. You know, like, I'm pretty sure you yelled at me when I last season when I said, is Cole going to come out back and be good, you know, what he was? You're like, and now you're saying it. But it's true. We don't know what Cole's going to come back and be. You know, Rodon is up and down. You'd hope that Fried's going to be Fried. But, like, you know, it's good. Will we even get Clark Schmidt back this year? He got hurt too late in the season where we wouldn't even see him until very late if we saw him at all. So you don't plan on him pitching.
I would not expect to see Clark Schmidt throw a competitive pitch for the Yankees this year.
So you bring another pitcher in, and if Will Warren is your seventh starter, that's a great thing to have, because you know as well as I know that one of these pitchers is going to go down for a few weeks for shoulder tightness or a barking back, or, you know, whatever the fuck they say. You know it's going to go down, and then Will Warren is a good person to then move up into that situation. You know, I would love for them to go out and get some starting pitching. You brought up Bo Bichette. I think that was the one move I wanted the Yankees to do this offseason more than anything. I want them to get Bo Bichette. I will do a backflip. I will throw my crutches in the air and do a backflip if we get Bo Bichette. I'm kind of along the lines of live and die by Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones this year. That's kind of my outlook on everything. But no, you're right. They need to, add some bullpen help, because I remember I was sitting there, I'm like, non-tendered. Well, okay. And then every day I just saw somebody added to the list, because I didn't actually just go out looking it up. I was more focused on my surgery and everything going on. But every day I see a new article. Oh, this person was a non-tendered. This person was a non-tendered. Like, how long is this list actually get that I didn't, I saw like the four or five main people in the beginning, but so they need to help. They need to bolster that up, because they're going to tax their bullpen too much. And then they're going to get to the middle of the season and these pitchers are going to start getting shelled. Fernando Cruz isn't a spring chicken. He's a position player that didn't pan out and got to come back to the big leagues because he figured out how to pitch. The guy's older. I think that there's a good set of bones to this team, but they need to add to be what we want them to be. That you can't run it back with what we have. You can't run it back with what we had last year. Obviously, there's people that aren't going to be on the team this year that, but it's just, I don't know. It's all speculation at this point. This is the shittiest part of baseball season, because all you do is sit and you speculate and you hope, you wait, you have anxiety because what's going to happen? What are we going to get? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Oh, they did this. Why the fuck they do that? You sit there with bated breath, and then all of a sudden you get fucking Trent Grisham.
Look, is Brian Cashman going to be a mem again after the winter meetings are over? I'm sure everybody's looking forward to that. I'm sure there are actually fans out there that are looking forward to using the meme instead of the Yankees actually doing something. But one thing that Brian Cashman did last offseason was trade for Devin Williams, and that didn't exactly work out too well for the New York Yankees, and now Devin Williams is a Met. And Devin Williams got 3 years and $51 million. So that was a little bit surprising to me that he got closer money, and the reports are that the Mets are still in on Edwin Diaz. So he got closer money to be a setup guy. But when, you're Steve Cohen, you can do things like that. And that's the difference between the Mets and the Yankees right now, is that the Yankees won't overspend on a position that they don't see positional value in. So, and the Mets will. So they'll pay, $15 million, whatever it is, $13 million or whatever, whatever the friggin' number is. I can't do the math in my head on a setup guy, and then bring in a $20 million closer. Look, the Met bots came at me in full force this week, okay? They didn't like what I had to say about their precious new toy and Devin Williams. And that's not my fault, okay? You guys have to understand something here. And I'll take a tactful approach to it first, and then I'm going to not take a tactful approach to it, okay? You can't get mad at Yankee fans for speaking their truth about what they saw in a player. What we watched with Devin Williams in the Bronx in 2025 was a guy that did not perform. There's just no other way around it. This guy was a bad player for 5 months of the season. And you know what? And I came on this show and I said, give me this September, give me October, and it will all be worth it. And that's fine. You know what? You pitched well at the end of the season, and I commend you for that. But it doesn't erase how piss poor of a player that you were for the original 5 months of the season. And if you sit there and think about it, you want to pinpoint one thing here, one thing there. Obviously, the Yankees not playing well against Toronto cost them the division more than anything in my eyes. Okay, you don't play well against the team that is in front of you, and you lost. That's the simplest way to boil it down for me. But also, if Devin Williams pitched anywhere near the back of his baseball card, the Yankees win the fucking American League East by at least 3 games last year. And we might be talking about something different than what we're talking about right now. So if you want to say that The Yankees playing poorly against Toronto is the biggest reason. The second biggest reason is that Devin Williams was nowhere near the player that he was in Milwaukee when he came over here. Okay, that is the God's honest truth. And if you're a Met fan and you're triggered by that, you are a fucking moron. Okay, I have to skirt the things that I say on X so I don't get banned. The phrase I use is mentally deficient. You guys are mentally deficient. Okay, if you think that you're going out there and getting triggered because Yankee fans are speaking the truth about what they watched in a player, you're mentally deficient. Okay, there's no other way to say it. And I'm not sitting out there and saying that you shouldn't be excited for it. If you want to harken back to how great he was under David Stearns and think David Stearns' run team is going to bring out the best in Devin Williams, more power to you. I say I salute, God bless you. But that's not what he was here. What Devin Williams was as a New York Yankee was a pouty, whiny crybaby. Okay, he did not want to be here. We all know this. He thought he was going to the Dodgers. He gets the last second call. He's going to be a Yankee. Then he had to shave. It's not a coincidence, okay, that they changed this fucking policy for him. They did it to make him comfortable. And the fact of the matter is that he did nothing to reward the Yankees in trying to make him comfortable other than vomiting all over himself on a mound in the Bronx or anywhere else across the American League last year. So don't get triggered as a Met fan when Yankee fans are speaking their truth about Devin Williams. And remember, you jackoffs sat there as we tweeted and posted about what a piece of shit this guy turned into. You guys relished in the fact that Pete broke him. Well, now you signed the guy to a $51 million deal. So what is it? You can't be happy that Pete broke him and he sucked in the Bronx and now he's going to be the airbender again. Mental deficiency, okay? That runs rampant in Queens. I hope that there's a brain transplant center put next to that goddamn casino because you guys need to have that part of your brain fixed. And it amazed me how just comment after comment, and none of them have profile pictures, by the way. It's interesting how that works.
If I was a Mets fan, I wouldn't want to show my face either. Just saying. Oh, I think Devin Williams is going to go there and we're going to be really pissed off because he's going to develop like another pitch or some shit like that. And it's not going to be like, oh, wow, change up out of the zone. Ooh. You know, I feel like he relied on that way too much. And I think that's really what just stuck it to him. The airbender. But fuck him. You hit the nail perfect on the head. They broke Devin Williams. They broke Devin Williams, and then they go out and they sign him to It's like $17 million a year or something stupid. Like, I don't know what to say about that. It is absolutely crazy how much money Steve Cohen is willing to spend.
Devin Williams posted this on his Instagram story. He said, for a bunch of people that didn't want me back on their team, y'all are mad in the DMs. Devin, let me tell you something right now. Yankee fans are not mad that you're gone. We're happy you're gone, okay? I'm glad that you signed anywhere else but New York with the New York Yankees, okay? I didn't want the Yankees to make the mistake of bringing you back here and you be a poor part of this bullpen again, okay? Yankee fans are not mad that you went to the Mets. Yankee fans are not mad that you're not a Yankee anymore. Yankee fans are mad that you came here and you sucked for 5 months. That's what we're mad about. We're mad about when we look back at the season last year and how we could have won an extra game here, an extra game there, and kept ourselves out of the wild card and made a run division and won the American League East and maybe change their fortunes in the postseason. Yankee fans look back at you blowing multiple games. That's what they're mad at. Nobody cares that you're gone. You didn't even want to be here. You made it abundantly clear that you didn't want to be here. We accepted you. You're a Yankee. We accepted you. We wanted you to succeed here. I think everybody was pretty much excited when we got Devin Williams. I was on my route and I was checking our group chat, and Pete or Francis was like, "We got Devin Williams." Like, holy shit, we got Devin Williams, one of the best closers in baseball. Last year, he was looked at as one of the best closers. Is either him or the gambling man, Emmanuel Clase. And that was one in 1A right there. Everybody was excited, but you didn't want to be here. And you let it. I don't know. Did it affect your performance on the field? So look, bro, you can be all full of yourself right now and be happy you got your money. You're more comfortable in. Great. But nobody gives a flying fuck that you're not a Yankee anymore. I can honestly guarantee you, and I by running the polls that we do and keep them, dump them, and you had a dump rate, okay? People wanted you out of here. Then nobody's upset that you're gone, bro. So you know what? You want to pump your chest now and endear yourself to the Met fans? Go ahead, bro. That's what you guys do. That's what you and that little bitch boy, Sonny Gray, do now, is you go out there and you talk shit to the Yankee fans because you want to endear yourself to the new fan base that you're at. And Sonny Gray goes and gets traded to the Red Sox, and he says, "Well, I'm glad I can be in a place where it's easy to hate the Yankees, and I never wanted to be there," except for when you listen to Sonny Gray back in 2017 when he got traded here, he said, "This is where I want to be." Of course, he's not going to say, "I don't want to be here now," but, you know, you can't say that 10 years ago and say that you never wanted to be there when you were with the Red Sox, okay? I've told this story here. You're here on the other side now. One of the worst days of my life was having to go to my grandmother's mother, and while we're in between viewings, what did we do? We watched the Yankee game. And that little bitch is sitting there getting shellacked by a terrible Orioles team, and he's laughing coming off the mound. And now all these years later, he wants to say, "Well, it's easy to hate the Yankees. I'm glad I can be in a place where it's easy to hate the Yankees." I'm glad you're in a place where we get to beat the living shit out of you four times a year now, okay? I'm glad that you're going to have to sit there at Yankee Stadium and look Aaron Judge dead in the eyes if you're man enough to do it, if you don't wave four fingers, okay? Not everybody's cut out for the big city. You're clearly not. Go look at go look at St. Gray's career numbers of the places that he's pitched really well. Nobody's watching. You think we were bad? You think Yankee fans were bad, Sonny? Bro, I'm telling you, bro, go get lit up against the Yankees. Go get lit up against the Yankees, my man, and tell me what's going to happen, how much those Boston fans are really going to love you. You're saying all the right things now. You want to endear yourself to that fan base. God bless you. Go get lit up by the Yankees. You thought we were bad? We'll look like choir boys compared to what the Red Sox fans put you through.
I don't get that. Like, how do you go to a place, completely suck, and then talk shit? Like, I it's just, keep your mouth shut. Like, it turned me off. As soon as I read it, I think the first thing I said to you, if we don't beat the shit out of him this year, I'm gonna consider this year a failure. Fuck the World Series. My ultimate want this year is Aaron Judge to just demolish Sonny Gray. Devin Williams, I don't give a shit about. We all talk shit about him. Let the guy get off his chest. This is how many years later Sonny Gray is coming out and talking shit like a moron. Just, and I listened to it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I missed something somewhere. I didn't listen to the whole interview, but I listened to enough. I was trying to, like, what brought that about? And I feel like it was completely out of left field. He went out there and he brought it up himself, and he just had a name drop the Yankees. Like, it's bothering you that bad, bro?
Obviously, no one's going to clip that part. They're only going to clip the part that people are going
to... No, but I listened to more of it. I listened to what was leading up to it. I don't feel... Like I said, I didn't listen to the whole... I don't know how long the interview was, but I listened to the entire question, and then he just talking, and then he just brings it up. It's like, it's bothering you that bad, bro? Like, you feel that inadequate? Like, I feel like it was probably his dream to play at Yankee Stadium. Like, he took the prom queen home and he couldn't get it up. That's what it is for Sonny Gray. And this is just like the ultimate, like, he's so sad. It's been eating at him and festering him his whole life. And he's just like, I didn't want it anyway, bro. He's like my 10-year-old kid. Like, well, I didn't want it. I didn't even want it anyway.
Well, okay, cool. I don't know if you ever watched Mad Men, but there was a scene where this guy was just, I forget what it, but he was in the elevator with Don Draper, and the guy was just like talking all this shit, and Draper goes, I don't even think about you, and walked out of the elevator. So Sonny was holding this inside of him for all these years, and we're just sitting here like, bro, we don't even think about you.
No. He's a loser, dude. It's how many years ago? And like, you got to bring it up. It's like, it's ew. It's just gross. It's so unbecoming of somebody, and it makes you so much happier that you don't have a douchebag like that on your team. And it just gives me something to hate more about Boston. It's like, yeah, you want to make the rivalry come back, you know, be more of it was back in the day. Like, yeah, you're going to do pretty good because
for a guy that doesn't like the spotlight, he just put one on himself.
Oh yeah.
Don't be surprised if he's lined up to play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium and all of a sudden, like, he needs an extra day of rest.
Yeah. He's having anxiety problems or something like that. That'll be one of the most watched games this season. Like, you'll watch it. Like, look, or if it's at Yankee Stadium, sold out. Not that the Boston games aren't sold out, but I can't wait to hear him booed in Yankee Stadium. I will be there for that. I don't go to Boston games. I hate going to them. I don't want to be anywhere near them. I might go to that. Just to boo that asshole.
All right, let me see if David Douglas's super chat is coherent or if he took a steel chair off the head last weekend. It said, it's the new way to talk shit about the Yankees, and they don't do anything about it. Yankees allow it to happen. Oh, did you want the Yankees to put Sonny Gray in a muzzle?
In America, half of every dollar spent on brand medicines goes to entities who don't make them. While middlemen like PBMs and 340B hospitals drive up costs, Biopharma is investing $500 billion in new infrastructure and manufacturing here at home and helping patients buy medicines directly at lower prices. Tell Washington to end middlemen markups and put American patients first. Visit phrma.org/middlemen.
Tis the season to cozy up with all your favorite holiday movies and shows.
You coming?
Where?
To the North Pole, of course!
Like a very Jonas Christmas movie and Home Alone on Disney+.
Did I burn down the joy? I don't think so.
Then snuggle up with the Polar Express and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Hulu on Disney+.
I think we're all in for a very big Christmas treat.
This season, there's something for everyone with Hulu on Disney+. Bundle subscription required. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, should they put a shock collar on him? And if he says anything like from a distance, shock him? I understand what he's saying. But, I mean, what are the Yankees going to do if Sonny Gray's popping off in the media? The only thing, I mean, I don't, and again, like, how much do the Yankees themselves really care about what Sonny Gray said? Who on this team was teammates with him? Judge? I think Stan was, right? Sonny Gray was here in 2018?
I don't know. Maybe
he had to have been. He had to come back for that second year.
Fuck him.
So Sonny Gray.
I can't remember him pitching.
He he got traded after the 2018 season. So
yeah.
So who on this team is he? I mean, Boone. Boone was his manager for a year. He was teammates with Judge for a year and a half. He was teammates with Stanton for a year. I mean, there's nobody else really remaining. So do the players themselves care? The fans are the ones that care. He was basically speaking to us. I can hate the Yankees now. Yankees are, you know, the team themselves is probably like, whatever.
Yeah, he hates the Yankees. His second worst ERA recorded was when in 2018 when he played for the Yankees.
No, if you look at it, he was serviceable in 2017. He was actually pretty good, 3.72.
Yeah.
So it was not like he was bad. But then in 2018, he was almost unpitchable. I mean, they took him out of the rotation. He only started 23 games that year, and he was healthy. They had to take him out of rotation. He was so bad.
Fuck him. Sonny who?
But again, like, this is I understand David's point here, and it brings up like a larger point here is that, all right, the Dodgers won the World Series this year. Have you heard them say anything about the Blue Jays in the past couple weeks, in the last month or so? Have you? They couldn't wait to run to a microphone and talk shit about the Yankees. Sonny Gray can't wait to run to a microphone and talk shit about the Yankees. The Yankees' perception has changed around the league. And that's a problem. That is something that needs to change here. And the only way that is going to change is by winning and winning championships. Because right now they're looked at, you know what, you can say Aaron Boone's respected. Nobody respects Aaron Boone, okay? Alex Cora's, you know, they're friends. What, a Yankee manager and a Red Sox manager are friendly? Why? Because Alex Cora knows he can run laps around Aaron Boone. He doesn't feel threatened by him. That's the thing that needs to change. That I guess is David's overall bigger point there. That, yeah, you know, the Yankees allow these things to happen because of the way that they're run now. So we'll see, man. Again,
yeah,
they have to do something here because it's not good enough. It's just not good enough for the Yankees to tell you that, okay, here's the team rolling out there. Because then if you don't even bring back Cody Bellinger at the bare minimum, you're not even running it back. You're taking a step back, maybe two. It's not going to be pretty, man. That's all I have to say. It's just not going to be pretty for the Yankees, for the fans, if they don't go out there and do something. And I'll end the show on this here. Because I got into a disagreement with some cuck jerk off today on social media because he called me an entitled piece of shit because I'm not happy with the Yankees not winning a world championship in the last 16 years. Let me tell you something right now. If you are like me and you grew up or you're old enough to remember 96 through 2001, it was a great time. It was the best time since probably any of our lifetimes to be a Yankee fan. If you want to take like 76 to 78, that was probably really awesome when they got back to the World Series after George bought the team and they won back-to-back in those years, but I wasn't here yet, obviously. excuse me, but then they won in 96, 98, 99, 2000, and then they got to the one in 2001. Look, that was great, but that was a long time ago, okay? We're going into 2026. That dynasty ended 25 years ago. So if you're okay, if you're a Yankee fan and you're okay saying, oh, I don't need a championship, I saw that. If you're okay with something that happened 25 years ago and get visibly upset where you have to name call people on social media that want more out of this organization, you're a participation trophy loser cuck. That's what you are. There's just no other way to say it. You're okay with handing out participation trophies because that was part of his argument back. You're mad because the team wins 95 games every year. Okay, let me hang it on the wall. Where they have all the retired numbers, let's start erasing them and put every year they won 95 plus games out there, because that's what matters, right? Now, winning championships. And I said this last week. If they had won, you know, I give you a grace period after you win. You get a year, 2 years maybe before I really feel that angst again. 16 years. You mean to tell me you're a diehard fan? You care about this team just as much as we do. You invest the amount of money that we invest into the same that we do, and you're just okay with 16 years of not winning a championship? You're a loser. And your wife's got your chair set up in the bedroom while her personal trainer comes over. Okay? You don't like it? You don't like what I'm saying? Because it's true. You can't care about this team and be okay with the fact that they haven't won a World Series in 16 years. You can't love this team and be okay with the fact that they've been to one World Series in those 16 years. You can't love this team and say, well, you know, that dynasty has held me over for the rest of my life. Because then you should, in 2002, you should have just walked away and not given a crap anymore. It's not okay. So go hand out your participation trophies. You know, I'll catch you outside Yankee Stadium. Make sure you wear the shirt. 2024, 2025, back-to-back 94 win seasons, because that's what matters, right? Look, I get it. We are, a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases are envious of us because they do put out a competitive team every year. And there is always something, like I said, to keep you on the hook, to get you to root for the team and at least believe a little bit. But you have to want more than that. You have to want more than that. You can't be a Yankee fan and want more than that.
Listen, if you like sports and you're okay with your team not winning the Super Bowl, the World Series, the finals, and you're okay with them not winning and they're okay with them just being good, you're a loser. You're not a real fan. Every single year, listen, you knew the Giants weren't going to be great this year, but you held out hope, okay? You want them to win. You don't have to expect it, but you want your team to win every year. And if they don't win, you have every right to be upset. Like, you go out, you teach your children, like, yeah, go out, do your best, and that's what matters. But secretly, you want them to go out and be successful, and you want them to win. Because if you didn't want them to win, you're a shit parent in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? You could encourage them, and you want them to have the right idea and all that, but we're not talking about our children or some, you know, special needs teams and stuff like that out there. We're talking about professional baseball teams, professional players who make professional money that then take our money that we sit there and invest our time into. If you want us to be okay with them just winning 95 games, you know, making it to the first round of the playoffs, whatever it is, like, no, I want them to go all the way. I want them to win. It's we don't settle for anything less. And if you settle for anything less, you're just a jackass. Like, how do you love sports? How do you get enjoyment out of sports? You're like, oh, you know, they only lost, you know, 7-8 today. Like, what's the big deal? Like, no, like, they lost. You don't want your team to lose. You want your team to win. That's it. That's what sports are about. You don't go to the fucking casino and say, oh, well, you know, I'm okay with losing $400. No, I want to hit the mega on the slot machine, and I want to walk away with $1 million. You want to win. That's what it's about. It's about winning. I hate that argument. You guys are spoiled.
You are Hal's favorite type of fan. That's what you are. And that's why you're a cuck. And that's why the chair set up. And that's why the chair set up. And that's why the chair is set up in the corner of the room for you.
Fucking cucks, bro. I can't stand these people. I see those arguments. I stay so far. I see that and I like swerve. I got to get away from that, because that is the type of argument that like will engulf me. And I will sit there and put everything into that and tell people like how big of a loser you really are. I can't stand that. Uh-huh. Like, I really hate when people tell my kid, like, oh, it's just not how you try. Like, yeah, tell my kid that. And I'm a bad father, but I'll be like, you want to win. Don't. Because that's what it's about. You go to work, you put in the best effort that you can because you want to get promoted.
And Pete was right. He said, we're closing on their longest drought. Right now, I believe it's their second longest, and we're closing in on the longest drought of this team between World Series championships.
Like ever?
Ever.
Like they were like a shit team. Like I, before we were born, they were a shit team.
So when did they, I know 61 they won. What?
I don't know. I know what they were owned by like they were owned by a news station or whatever.
Yeah, CBS. That's who Jordan.
Yeah, they were like they were supposed to be like one of the worst teams. They were a real shit team. I don't know.
Yeah. So I mean,
and I'm sure those back then they were pissed off too. Like, oh, the Yankees, they suck every year. Like, oh, well, you say the same thing. That's it. It's sports. What do you watch? What do you watch a sport for if you're okay with just oh, we won 95 games this year? Woohoo! That's a win. Like, if you're a real Marlins fan and you, like, all have season tickets, like, power to you, man. If you're a Pittsburgh, power to you. Those are, like, real sports fans because you go out there every year and you watch that shit. But, like, fuck. Like, I don't get that. It's such a broken mentality, and it's the downfall of the civilization when you're okay with mediocrity. Low IQ people. I don't know.
Okay. So I don't want to butcher this guy's name here. Bianco? Is that how you say it? Bianco. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. He wanted to let me know that Peacock is currently streaming all the Rocky movies. Okay.
Oh, great. He doesn't need to stream them.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I do appreciate you bringing that to my attention, but I am one person that you will not ever have to worry about telling me if a streaming service is carrying any of the Rocky movies. I'm trying to think off the top of my head that I have at least 5 disc copies of the original movie. I have four box sets, three or four box sets that carry at least through Rocky IV. And I have 2 that carry all the way through the 6th movie. And I purchased them and they're on my Amazon video. I have them in my own Amazon library. You don't ever have to worry. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. And Mary Ellen, thank you for the compliment tonight. But you don't ever have to trust me. You do not ever have to worry about me finding where to watch this movie, okay?
I like Rambo better.
Okay.
I don't.
So,
I don't own any of those movies. You know that?
You do. I gave you a box set on
Rambo. I have Rambo because I really liked Rambo when I was a kid, but I prefer the Rocky movies. So now that I know that they're on Peacock, I'll probably be, because I'm obviously home by myself doing nothing with my life currently, I'll probably watch them tomorrow.
Right,
I don't know. I'll watch 2, 4. I don't really like 3.
But
1.
I can't let this go. And then I know we're running Macho. You think he's doing who? Stallone is doing one more? I don't want to see that if that's the case. I'll give you my reasons why in a second. And Jack says that they should have never killed off Apollo Creed. And Stallone has regretted doing it. He's come out and said it. But, and I'll tell you the reasons why I do not disagree, why I disagree with him. And who am I to disagree with Sylvester Stallone? But there's no motive. If he's just rolling his ass around in a wheelchair, like Stallone said he really should have done, then what's his true motivation? I mean, like, it's not like a fight to the death against Ivan Drago then. Like, you needed that. You needed him to go out there and avenge the death of Apollo Creed. Not avenge Apollo Creed rolling his ass around in a wheelchair. It just doesn't hit the same. And also, say whatever you want about the Creed movies. I love the first 2 of them. There's no Creed movies if Apollo's not dead. They can't happen. Or maybe he could have died late in the gap between Rocky Balboa and Creed, just like natural causes. But then again, like, how does Adonis would have known his father then? Right? That was the whole, like, the whole thing. He never knew Apollo as his dad. Look, I know
those
it's
movies,
almost. I know
those
it's
movies
almost,
sucked.
No, you're wrong. Okay,
those movies sucked.
You know, you're lucky. Your mother is my aunt, or else I was going to say something extremely vulgar right there. I'm telling you, if you don't like Creed 2, I'm going to tell you how I will get everybody to like Creed 2. Watch Rocky 4, and then immediately watch Creed 2. It's a sequel to Rocky 4. I'm telling you.
Creed 2? Creed 2?
When he fights Victor, when he fights Ivan Drago's son.
Oh, yeah, it was just a remake.
Watch it.
It's a remake.
Okay.
Well, that's why they suck. They're just remakes.
Okay. You're wrong. Okay.
What was the third one? The third one had the guy that choked his girlfriend, right? The actor that choked his girlfriend.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the third one because they basically washed Stallone out from the entire thing.
That was my favorite one because it stood on it by itself. The other two were just
there were parts from Creed 3 that I did like, but I didn't like that they basically ignored Rocky's existence there. There was one thing that Adonis said that was like an ode to the no matter how hard you hit speech. And then when the fuck is his name? Jonathan Majors' character, Dame, wanted to get the title shot. He said I don't think he ever said Rocky, but I think he referenced him about Apollo giving Rocky the shot. And that was like the only two things that connected the two of them. And I get it that there was no real need for Stallone in the third one, but you could have done something a little bit more there.
I don't know.
Look, we got way off track here. You guys know that if you cannot bring up Rocky in the chat and not expect me to lose it, okay? To just completely lose my train of thought. The show was supposed to be over 10 minutes ago. I could sit here and do another hour on it. If you guys want, we can do a special just Rocky episode here, and nobody even has to sit in on it. You guys can just enjoy me talking for 3, 4, probably 5 hours. Probably 9. I can probably do an hour on each movie, except for Rocky 5 and Creed 3. So probably 8.
Christian likes Sylvester Stallone so much, he actually owns his porno.
I do not.
You see, you've watched it. Don't say you haven't.
I've never watched it. I've never had even the desire to go out there and watch it. I even felt weird watching him do the scene with Sharon Stone in The Specialist. Like, you're not supposed to see Rocky in this.
Yes, really. When I found out that he started in porn, I was like, excuse me? He did what? It is weird. I don't know. I'm still owned out, though. Like, I can't even watch Tulsa King anymore.
Yeah, I just started the third season of Tulsa King, and I really like the first two, but the third season's not really grabbing me right now.
I can't stand watching him with his pinky out holding his. I'm around Italians all the time, and no one actually does that with their suit.
Yeah, Macho, you're right, bro. No, you know, because he was naked in Rocky V in the shower scene, but it was like from a side, so you didn't see his butt. Like, nobody wants to see Rocky's butt, dude. Like, The Specialist, like, I saw that. Actually, I first saw The Specialist with Kevin, and he was, like, all giggity because of the nudity in the movie. And I'm like, this is Rocky rolling around with Sharon Stone? Like, I can't watch this. This is not wholesome. So, thank you guys so much. We'll cut it off there. You guys have been awesome. Always love getting off on just whatever the hell happens here. This is NYYST at its best here. And we want to thank you guys so much for being in the chat here tonight. And if you haven't done so already, like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you're listening to this episode on your favorite podcast platform on Friday morning, subscribe there as well. Leave us a 5-star rating and review and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Thank you so much for your continued support of the show. Thank you very much for listening and watching episode 504. Sem, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
We got a nurse. We got it. That's how you finesse. We come for they nurse. We come to collect. Did it all on my own, yeah. When it brought it back home, yeah. Now they calling my phone, yeah. But I'm all in my zone. They not a threat. They not a tell them reset. We're near they best. We still not impressed. Did it all on my own, yeah. Went and brought it back home, yeah. Bought a watch with the stones, yeah. Caught them watching my throne, yeah. Ain't no one doing the shit that we doing. Ain't nobody.
Limo, Limo.
And Doug. Here we have the Limo Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu, is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.